This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
We thank God for this sermon and teaching series, Back to the Basics of Christian Living. Amen. And we were talking about how to bless the Lord. Amen. And we had three main witnesses that graced the court of the Lord. They entered into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise unto the Lord. They showed us how to bless the Lord. Amen. We are going to rest in our teachings right there as we go further in our prophetic curriculum from God. Back to the basics of Christian living. We're going to be stationed in the Old Testament and New Testament in Isaiah, known as sometimes the fifth gospel. We thank God for Isaiah 53. And then we're going to head over to an explanation in the epistles. 1 Corinthians 11 and also 1 Peter 2. Thank God for all here, and I thank God most, amen, importantly, that God is not a liar. Two or three gathered in his name, he is there in the midst, amen. And he's come to comfort us, give us joy in our heart, that we could walk in righteousness. We walk in righteousness because of him, not because we had a better idea, a better plan than most folk, and we began to say, I'm going to live for God. I think I'm going to create a new thing. I'm going to live for God. It has nothing to do with us. Amen. God loved us first. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. It was an eternity past kind of thing. God already knew. Thank God that what he brings to life from the clay and breathes into that clay the breath of life, and they become a living soul. Amen. Even though he says, be holy for I am holy, he knew that in the free will there would be some kind of a falling. Amen. And he already saw that, and this is why we have these scriptures today. Amen. As we read from the King James Version in all three. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 read as thus, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We go swiftly now to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 30 in the King James Version. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now we skip over to 1 Peter 2, verses 25. 4 and 25. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now turned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Father, we thank you for this word. I pray your spirit reveal truth in a mighty way. May our hearts be readied, the soil of our soul. Oh God, if there be any fallow ground, I pray that your spirit will harrow and get it ready for the planting of God's new seed of activity in agape power. God said, yes, I'm getting you ready for your new season. I'm going to plant it now. I'm going to care for it, water it. I'm going to guard the ground lest weeds tear, come in and try to take advantage of the soil. And my God, that the seed will not take root and be choked of its nutrients. But I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Seek my face and that right early, and I will germinate the seed. It will sprout. It will mature. It will bring forth much fruit. Hallelujah. It will bring forth fruit in its season. It will move, amen, and it will move you. Let's let God have his way in our life on today, people of God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen, amen, amen. Thank God for all of you. Amen. We have to realize that the Spirit is helping us to move expeditiously by his Spirit. We can't let our flesh delay us. The flesh is weak. God's Spirit is willing. He regenerates our spirit so that it will be willing like the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we have to drag along our flesh. And it's not ready, and it's never going to be ready. We have to just mortify its deeds and allow the Spirit of God to have its way. We have to walk, therefore, in the Spirit and not give in, amen, to all of the lusts of the flesh. We can't give in to seducing spirits. We can't give in to the indoctrination of the untoward generation of this pop culture today. God is not in it, amen. But he wants to get in the midst of it, amen, and eradicate the darkness so that light can shine and people will begin to understand that they can taste and see that the Lord is good, amen, and be saved from the penalty of sin. And God will bless them with his salvation grace and give them knowledge and understanding of what it means to say these two words. Yes, Lord. Amen. So God is cultivating. Yes, his Spirit is cultivating. And we are being led by the Holy Spirit to commemorate what our Lord has done, what he is doing in our midst concurrently. Amen. And what he will do heretofore, amen, for us continuously until he what? Comes back. Amen. And even beyond, throughout eternity, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. He wants us to be blessed throughout eternity. Amen. This process of worship, living till he comes and living even beyond, it's a process of worship. It's going to help us to understand and experience this message, the essence of true communion. Amen. The essence of true communion. We know about communion, but we may not know about true communion. Maybe we have not experienced it. But what is the essence? What makes it up? What are the distinguishing characteristics of true communion? God has concisely given wisdom of this and has boiled it down to five main principles of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to share them with you. God is an experiential God, and he wants us to experience him. Amen. So the experience of participating in a communion service should always be inclusive of giving thanks to God. So the basic history of the word communion, in other words, the Lord's Supper, denotatively renders the phrase give thanks. Give thanks, amen, is from the ancient Greek word Eucharistio. Eucharistio includes the prefix eu, meaning well or good. Anything with eu is good, amen. So it means good or well. And there's a base word, charizome, amen. Charizome means to give freely. So together these word parts mean to be grateful, basically. To express gratitude, amen. To be thankful. So 11 of the 39 appearances of the word in the New Testament refer to partaking of the Lord's Supper, while 28 occurrences describe praise words given to the Godhead. And during the second century, Eucharist became the general term for the Lord's Supper. And many denominations use that word. We are going to celebrate the Eucharist. But in our circles, mostly we hear people saying, we're going to have communion. Amen. So the foundational purpose of communion, or the Lord's Supper, is to humbly reciprocate love and thanksgiving unto God. In partaking of the blood of the New Testament, it is important that we understand what a true communion experience should entail. God is seeking to have a right relationship with people as we commemorate what he did in that gracious act of, amen, becoming the volitional payment, bearing for us the agony, the pain, the price it will take to, amen, pay off the price of sin. In other words, forgive. I remember being a younger college student, drowning in debt, amen, and I was able to benefit from the government, amen, releasing funds in a grant fashion. And I did qualify for much of that program, amen. And I could see on the paper it was stamped forgiven, amen. This price is forgiven, it's paid, amen. Yes. Not forbearance, because you're going to have to pay it later. No, it was forgiven, amen. I thank God for such a gift. And here in my latter years as an educator, yet paying some of my, amen, high education costs, amen, it seemed to be like a pet that wouldn't go away. My God, and then making it get worse with more interest, etc., etc. But the program, amen, instituted by the government, we have all the records in the databases and everything, and they dug deep and they saw that I had paid 120 payments. And they said the rest would be what? Forgiven. Amen. I have two loans. Amen. One is a lower five figure and the other is an upper five figure. The lower five figure one already is at zero. A couple of weeks or so, the other one will also have the rendering of a record saying $0.00. Amen. It's already in the works. So I'm thanking and praising God before I retire. Amen. It's already done. Amen. Even though it's saying I owe that other one, it says in the deeper record that it's already paid. So I'm thanking God. It's like, amen, the counsel of the Most High.
Yes.
Saying even though we have this flesh to deal with, amen, we can rest assured in the eternal hope of Christ that our sin debt has what? Been paid.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we can commune with him in the spirit and commemorate in a religious ceremony to help our physical, amen, self understand and remember, commemorate what God has done. We rehearse and remediate lest we forget, amen. Lest we get comfortable in our blessing. Hey, God. Sometimes it's seemingly not too good for some folk to get too many blessings all at once because they get too cozy. They forget about the need for God. Why we place our worship on finite things. Oh, we got a fat bank account. Oh, boy, look at our wardrobe. Mm-mm-mm. My goodness, nobody has a house and a lawn better than mine. My car is all that, a couple of blocks long, shiny than the sun. My goodness. And we get cozy. We forget that our breath in our body could be snatched at any moment. My God. My God, we have to praise God, the life giver. I want to praise, amen, the giver of things, not the things that he gave me. I'm not going to worship the things. My God, those things are going to fade away. I got to worship him who will not fade away. He's eternal. He's our creator, the giver of life. He breathed into me the breath of life, and I became a living soul. Amen. I owe him my praise. I owe him my life. Thank you, Lord. Not the stuff that I got. Thank you, Lord. It will come and go. So we have to understand that partaking of the blood of the New Testament is important for us to gain an understanding, a commemoration, a remediation of thought, of true communion and how to experience it, what it should entail, etc. True communion is inclusive of five main principles, and I am trusting in a colleague who has already gone to meet our Lord. He understands it much better than we do right now. The late Dr. Jack Hayford, a teacher of worship, thank God. And he wrote many songs. He was one of the best pastors, amen, that you could have on this side of Jordan. And the people out west that were under his pastoring ministry were blessed. Amen. He wrote a study called The Full Scope of Communion. And there's an outline of five principles that we will go through to help us understand what we're doing when we take of the communion. Take part in it. Amen. Enjoy the Eucharist, if you will. So let's look at number one is communion is a celebration of victory. What are we doing when we take communion? We are celebrating what? Victory. That's the first thing. The second thing is communion is a proclamation when you proclaim something. What are we proclaiming? We are proclaiming redemption. So communion is a proclamation of redemption. I've been redeemed. A price has been paid. And we ought to walk around with our head up saying, yes, the price of sin has been paid. Amen. Because we decided to walk with Jesus. But if you walk outside of him, you are in sin and you are going to be unfortunately enjoying sin, because sin can be enjoyable to a point. But then when the amen mask is taken off and the reality of sin, amen, wakes you up, you will understand that the wages of sin all that while was death. The devil likes to mask that so that we are numb and we don't get the point until it's too late. My God. But all the while, God has given us hints and signs and wonders, but we turn, amen, a hard head, amen, and we don't want to turn toward them because our neck is too stiff to be turned. My God. And the day we hear his voice, we harden our heart. My God. And we don't have the wherewithal to proclaim redemption in that state of mind. Number three is communion is a declaration of dependence. You depend on the Lord. Amen. Number four is communion is an examination of self. An examination of yourself. You got to examine yourself. Thank God at all times, each and every day. Number five is communion is a reception of provision. You can't be so prideful that you can't receive. I have received of the Lord. And then we, amen, can worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's look at number one right quick. Communion is a celebration of victory. In Revelation 12, 10 and 11, we read, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been what? Cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." See, Jesus' blood was spilled. "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their own testimony," right? Yes. So you have to walk in this thing. Not just understand that it happened, but you have to be privy to it in a right relationship. So the first principle outlined here is the reminder that communion is a celebration of the new covenant. Yes. Christ won the victory over the devil for us. Although many churches still take communion in the wrong mind and spirit, the heavenly purpose of communion is yet a triumphant and victorious one, where we are to be reminded that Jesus Christ conquered the power of the enemy. Jesus Christ told us to do what? To drink of the cup of the blood of the New Testament, and to do this in remembrance of who? Of him. We are to remember that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, whose blood redeemed us from the power of sin, death, and Satan. Communion is to be a celebration of those victories. Amen. I see people, amen, doing it too often. Amen. Jesus said, do it as oft, you know, but he didn't say do it often and until it becomes something that has lost its savor. Amen. Yes. It's just something to do. Pass me a hymn book. Amen. Let's have communion. Brush our teeth. Comb my hair. You know, it's like nothing. It should be a worship experience. Yes. I see these younger churches, and some of them look like a club. They got the lights so dim, you can hardly see the hymn book. Thank God. And mostly they don't have a hymn book anyway, anymore.
No.
They have all kind of words that should match the Bible, but a lot of times those words do not match the narrative of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And people have now penned in their poetic license all kinds of feel-good songs and helping folks to feel like they fit in no matter what. But God does need us to examine ourselves. Amen.
That's right.
Based on his Word. Amen. We can't change the word with our ungodly Christian songs.
That's right.
And what an oxymoron that is. We're not celebrating God's victory anymore. We're celebrating our own victory to do whatever is right in our own eyes.
Right.
And they are passing these little vials, communion kits all around.
Yes.
And celebrating what? I do not know. Celebrating their flesh, I guess. My God, it's not a victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You love me and I sought you. Amen. Because of your redeeming blood. I love you and amen. I owe you all my life. Amen. You plunge me in victory beneath the cleansing blood. I don't hear people talking about the cleansing blood. It's, oh, you love me no matter what. You love me no matter what. No, them kind of songs. No matter what. Okay, yes, he loves you, but you forgot the other side where there's judgment. Amen? People say they have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness. What does 1 John say? You lie and what? Do not the truth. You can't say you have fellowship with him, but do something else.
Right.
What about the fruit in your life?
Right.
Fruit matters with God.
It does.
Thank God. That's why there's a such thing as the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Amen. And in Galatians 5, you see the works of the flesh are these, and it lists a whole lot of stuff there, inclusive of arrogance, pride, things that go against the Decalogue, the moral code of God, where you are disrespecting authority and your parents, etc., etc. Engaging yourselves in orgies and parties and getting drunk, etc., etc. God lists them all. Witchcraft, variance, everything is listed there. In all realms of evil are listed there in the works of the flesh.
Yes.
And the flesh can carry you so far down, farther than you could ever fathom or think. See, the devil tries to use the Lord's words, but he does it in a reverse way, mm-hmm. into darkness. That, amen, is so dark, amen, that you will do things you did not know you could be lowered to do. Mm-hmm. But sin will carry you down there. Yes. It doesn't feel like you would go there, but the devil is subtle and slow, and he takes you on a slow slope down a greased pole right down to hell. And you can't get up from there on your own power. The devil has you doing it in your own power, doing whatever is right in your own eyes. But then when you fall, you're going to say, oh, I want to get up, but you can't. The devil will have his stinky foot on your neck, not allowing you to get up. He's saying all kind of expletives and calling you out of your name, out of your birth name, and saying, I got you now. But God is not like that. He shows you all of his cards in the card game. See my card? See, the devil's not going to show you his cards, because hell means hidden. When you look at the real meaning of hell, it means hidden. Mm-hmm. The devil's hiding stuff. He's throwing rocks and hiding his hands, acting as if God did it. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. You know, his hand is in the cookie jar. We caught him, and he's lying. Couldn't be. Mm-hmm. I saw your hand in the cookie jar. Couldn't be me. Then who? Amen. But the father of lies will act as if God is the problem. Mm-hmm. When he is the problem.
Yes, sir.
God shows you his cards and lets you know, amen, of what sort he is, who Satan is, what he's going to do to the devil, what sin will do to you. Even though we know all of that truth, the devil uses our feelings against us. Those words don't feel as good as the feeling the devil is giving us, so we go on our feelings. Nothing more than feelings. And we're not celebrating the victory in Jesus no more. We're celebrating the victory of the flesh. I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it, because I'm grown. I'm adulting. I'm grown. I could do whatever I see fit to do, whatever is right in my own eyes. As we were reading in our Bible reading fellowship this morning, the people in Gibeah, the Gibeonites, they began to do what was right in their own eyes. They had no king, etc., etc. And they began to get so low in degradation. And the Benjamites, there were some of them, God called them sons of Belial. That means you really have a demonic mind. And men of that town began to try to rape the new man that was visiting that town. And he said, no, why don't you take my virgin daughter and take the concubines and do what you will with them. And that's a shame. And they raped the women all night long, my God, and left them for dead on the porch. And that caused a civil war for several chapters in Judges. After Judges 19, the last verse moves us into Judges 20 and Judges 21, and all the wars that transpired. Many lost their lives until they almost lost one of the tribes. The tribe of Benjamin almost was completely wiped out. And they had to have some kind of ceremonial dance, the virgins dancing, and they were allowed to pick a girl that they thought was good for them. And they began to do all these kinds of things, whatever was right in their own eyes. It seemed so far from the peaceful shore. My God, why don't we just listen to the Mosaic Covenant? Amen. God gave a protocol of how to live a peaceful, holy, happy life in Jesus. But they had to go forego that because their flesh said, you know, in covetousness, we want to do whatever the surrounding countries are doing. So then they began to fall deep in sin. Did not submit themselves to the protocol of Levitical priesthood and the protocol of living right in God. They had all of these moral codes, but they said, no, we're going to forego that. They said, yeah, no. They want to do whatever the feeling is saying to them. So they began to have that idol, the feeling God. And God is saying that faith is not based on our feelings. Amen. He came to what? Save our soul. Not make us to, amen, be privy to all the mindset of the soul. God says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And we're not, amen, born with the right mindset. We need the new mind that comes from Christ. Amen. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then you can live a holy and separated life in this present world by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then you can celebrate victory. Folks are taking communion and celebrating their own fleshly, lustful kind of celebrations. I bid thee nay, that is not of God.
No.
They come in whorish, take communion and leave more whorish than when they came in.
Lord.
My God, my God.
My God.
Look at number two. Communion is a proclamation of redemption. 1 Corinthians 11:26 reads, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come." So when we take communion, we are to take it as a proclamation of redemption. The only way God could redeem us was through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all in need of a heavenly redeemer, our kinsman redeemer. He becomes that. Amen. And the redeeming costs something. Thank God. Every time we experience communion, we are saying, Christ died for us. Jesus is my victory. And a price was paid. Amen.
Amen.
When we are to be reminded of specific things that God has done for us, it is going to be through this redemption story. Thank God. Communion is an experience of sharing in common. Together as the body of Christ, we share what Jesus Christ has done for us. Gave us a victory. Amen. Brings us to number three. Communion is a declaration of dependence. And who do we depend on? In John 6:53, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." When we take communion, we are declaring our total dependence upon Jesus Christ and his power. Power for us to live right. Amen. Power for us to think right. Amen. Thank God. As we surrender to his lordship and depend upon him for our strength, we get strength when we worship. That's what worship is for getting strength. Fellowship is for warmth. Amen. We warm up to each other. We warm up to God, and we get life flowing in our veins. Thank God. But we are not going to be strong unless we worship God. Amen. In the beauty of holiness. And where does the beauty of holiness come? From his word. Blessed are they. Amen. The beauty of their feet. The people that what? Broadcast the gospel message. Amen. So how are you going to have the word unless you have the word of God? People aren't going to come to faith unless they hear the word of God from them sent. Amen. Thank God. So let us worship correctly. It's not about, you know, just some songs and beats and good musicianship, etc. And having a good soulish realm time. I hear people saying, you know, in these awards they have on TV, you know, the soul music. Amen. Thank God. But a lot of it is becoming so mixed now. They got, amen, "I love Jesus, he's my savior, sugar pie, honey bunch." You know, I'm like, what are we doing? We mixing everything? My God, when I have cornbread, it has certain ingredients. You're not supposed to be adding all kind of stuff, amen? Thank God. Let cornbread be cornbread, amen? Not all kinds of stuff in the bread, amen? Call it all bread, amen? It's not all bread, it's cornbread, amen? What are we doing? Worship with everything. We just put everything in there. Those kind of bagels are kind of confusing. The everything bagel, I can't tell what it is. Amen. Thank God. I like one flavor. Amen. So I can get an understanding. What is this everything bagel? That's confusion. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. We got worship like that. Just throw everything in there. Put a little amen Muhammad in there. Put a little of that in there. Put a little Buddha. Amen. Put a little yoga pants. Amen. And the praise team got yoga pants. My God. The preacher got Buddha beads on all the wrists. Amen. Several of them. Amen. Thank God. We just mixing everything. My God, it's just a plethora of everything. We're covetous of all the cultures around us. We're going to fall just like Israel fell in the Old Testament many times. My God, we have to understand that we do have a king and his name is Jesus. We shouldn't do whatever is right in our own fleshly, soulish realm eyes. We got to do what's right. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Then we could declare that we are depending solely upon the power of God. Thank God we need the Holy Spirit to be released in us as we faithfully partake of his body and his blood. His new covenant releases supernatural energy into our lives through his blood. I thank God that Andre Crouch was led by the Holy Ghost to take that crumbled up piece of paper that had the music and lyrics for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. It will what never lose its power. He thought that the song, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And kind of crumbled up. He thought, back to the drawing board. Amen. He was in his contemplative worship session and writing songs through the Holy Ghost. And he thought maybe he missed it. But no, he didn't miss it. Amen. The Holy Ghost said, no, you better take that paper back out of here. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. It's a song that's sung, thank God, in so many denominations.
Yes.
Thank God for the blood.
Yes.
But look, Jesus was trying to teach the people in John 6 about that. In verse 53, he was telling them what they needed to do. And then further down, when you get to verse 66, many people left him because they said, no, he's on the deep end. He's over the deep end now. Oh, he's asking for too much. Every little iota of my life, you want to be my Lord? No, that's a bit much. And many began to leave him on that day. My God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus turned to his homeboys, the disciples. Are you going to leave me too? One of them spoke up in the Holy Ghost. No, from you comes life. Amen. Thank God. They knew that outside of him, they would be separated from the vine and they would not have life anymore as God had given them. And as he was walking with them and teaching them and giving them instructions. Amen. The word of God brought power in their life. And they were able, amen, eventually to heal the sick, raise the dead. My God. The blind began to see. The deaf began to hear. Amen. Isn't that great? The Holy Ghost moved in their lives. God commissioned them to do it. But they had to depend on the power of God. It wasn't them. It was the power of God. Oh, how we are missing it in our modern day. People come as they are and they stay as they are. Feel free. I thought people were supposed to just feel free and come as they are. Nobody said they couldn't come as they are. But I'm telling you, don't get mad when the Holy Ghost comes so that he's trying to help them not stay as they are. Jesus was raised on that tree so that we don't stay as we are.
Right.
Sins in the world. He came to eradicate sin, not to help us tolerate it, be enamored with it. My God, no.
Yep.
We should become like him. Haters of sin.
Right.
Hate the devil.
Yes.
Don't fall in love with him. We began to break ranks against the enemy's camp, but we have so many ties and subscriptions that now we are still in there a little bit. With like the people in the Old Testament, they began to have a campaign to get right. But then some still did not remove all the idols.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a little bit of idols, there's like that yeast in the dough, a little leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. You got to eradicate it. You got to get rid of it all. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Rid yourself of it. Amen.
Yes.
Steer clear of it. Depend solely upon the move of God. Number four, communion is an examination of self. Did you know that communion is not to be just an empty, mundane religious ritual? It is a time when we are to search our hearts in the presence of God. So many worship sessions today are not in the presence of God. We build up a fleshly kind of awe all around the room, and people are looked at with a frown so that the peer pressure will get them to move to the beat or move their feet. I said, pick them up and put them down. One, two, three, shout. Praise break. And people begin to be choreographed based on the flesh and the peer pressure of a fleshly driven choreography. My God. And they equate that to what? The presence of God. Oh, we had what? Church. But God is saying we need to search our hearts in that environment. Okay. It should be conducive of searching our hearts and ask to be cleansed from our sins. But these old fleshly enamored songs make us feel cozy in our sins. And there's no need for an altar or an altar call. People take the little communion kits and peel it, eat the bread, drink the little juice, have a little fun sermon. My God, have bagels and juice in the aisle and oh, cozy soft seats and people looking across the aisle with their enamorous eyes, idolatrous eyes, adulterous eyes, and trying to see who they can scope the honeys. What kind of church is that? My God, it's like a club. My God, I feel like the little boy in Good Times. He said it's becoming a slum. My God, church is becoming a slum. My God, ghetto, I tell you. But God does not want it to be ghetto. When God stepped out on Mount Sinai, amen, the ground that he stood on began to have the foundations of heaven down there. Began to look like all the emeralds of heaven. And Moses saw it when he touched the ground. It began to look like the heavenly floor. My God, not just the dusty earth. But God came to change us. Not to keep us the same. Sin is what we are familiar with. God wants us, amen, to be divorced from sin. Communion helps us to examine ourselves. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment, damnation, you know, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. End quote. This particular passage of scripture is often misunderstood and used as a means of condemnation. However, the purpose of this scripture is to teach us to become true disciples who accept the discipline that follows being in Jesus. Amen. Jesus will bring discipleship and discipline in our life. Thus, we examine ourselves in the light of the Holy Spirit, allowing God's Spirit to point out in our lives areas in which we are missing the mark. Amen. It is here that we take advantage of the blessing of the new covenant and what it brings. It is the complete forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We must realize that all of us will sin as we walk with Christ in this life because we are not, amen, separated from the power of sin yet. And we could falter here and there. God knows that. Wrong attitudes could spring up. Amen. That is yet sinful. Our wrong attitudes in heaven. I bid thee nay. Living in fear. Is that going to be in heaven? No. Amen. He who is full of God is going to cast out all fear. Amen. Thank God. Because that's what the perfect love of God does in our heart. It casts out all fear. So living in fear could be one of your problems because it is the opposite of faith. Have you ever been unrighteously angry? My God, at the cusp of cussing, my God, at the tip of your tongue, you thought in your mind, but it didn't come right out, but it was in your mind. Hallelujah. Did jealousy spring up from the dry well of your soul? My God. What about deliberate sin? That we do, especially in secret. My God, they must all be confessed before the Lord so that we can receive healing, cleansing, and deliverance. Folks are not going to be delivered if they're holding on to things. You have to denounce some of this stuff. Amen. That's in you. Some of it is from God, but some of it you're holding on and don't want to be delivered. My God, we can't fill a dirty glass with the good stuff. We got to empty that glass and clean it up.
That's right.
Dry it real good and let it sparkle.
Yes.
Then pour in the good stuff.
Yes.
We got to get rid of the horrible stuff, the funky stuff. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. Let God cleanse the vessel and let him fill you with the good stuff. See, wrong attitudes and sins like fear can bring bondage into our lives and can actually prevent the full release of God's possibilities in our lives. The power of the blood is that Jesus Christ sets us free to be all that we are created to be in God. Self-examination, although momentarily difficult, should always lead to personal resurrection and a greater infilling of the Spirit of God. Amen. That's why many aren't filled. Number five, communion is a reception of provision. Are you going to receive what God provides? To partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner means that we do not allow the full power and provision of this experience of the new covenant to be manifested in our lives. It's not going to be manifested in our lives correctly. 1 Corinthians 11:29-32. In other words, we limit the full worth of the price he paid for our complete healing and deliverance. We commemorate what he has done, but are we really honoring and amen? Are we really gracious? You know, have a good gratitude in our heart and mind about it. Did we honor it correctly? See, the purpose of the blood of the new covenant is that Jesus Christ paid not only for our sins, but for the full provision for every need in our lives. Yes, he has to be Lord of your full life. Amen. I tell you, I see the Holy Ghost putting a picture in my mind. He said, amen, you can't drink of the cup of Christ and the cup of demons. And I bid thee this, amen, that you can't be gracing yourself on every dance floor, amen. You can't be on the devil's dance floor and then come on God's dance floor. There's a problem, amen. How can your tongue, amen, be so good and fluent and cussing and 1 minute and then the next minute I'm fluent in tongues of the Holy Ghost, my God. You are mixed up.
Yeah.
Amen. Your tongue wagging the wrong stuff. Your hips shaking to the wrong beat. Your feet moving up and down to the wrong beat.
My
God, you better get yourself together.
You
should have the exclusive lordship of God in your life. Amen. Of whose are you? Choose this day whom ye will serve.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner is to limit by our unbelief the full provision of what God has done. The new covenant was made available to us by the price of Christ's blood and his death on the cross. It provides healing. It provides financial provision. It provides peace of mind. It provides deliverance. It provides freedom from fear. It provides spiritual power and heavenly purpose. Amen. So when we take communion, we are to believe that Jesus Christ's blood made it possible for us to receive the full worth of God's unlimited provision in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. We think, amen, that stupid song, too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for this and that. Amen. We think we are too sexy for God to control our sex part. Amen. Thank God. Is there such thing as sanctified sexiness? Maybe. Amen. But you don't need to be doing it like the devil says to do it. Stop listening to those, amen, unholy bishops out there. You got unholy apostles ruling your life. Apostle Hefner and all of them. The late Apostle Hefner. My God, ruling and reigning in your life. You better stop playing, boy, and get your life right. My God, you're a playboy. There's playboys in the pulpit, scoping the honeys, telling the women, oh, you are wearing that dress. My God, watch your compliments, men of God. You have a carnal mind attached to that compliment. And God sees, amen, the constitution of your character. And he's saying, examine yourself. And you shepherdess women of God in the pulpit too. I was a young licensed minister in the pulpit, and I was able to sit in the pulpit one time, and one shepherd mother was sitting next to me, and she began to get excited in the move of the Spirit, I thought. But then her hand kept slapping my thigh and moving upward on the thigh a little bit. I said, loose out of here, amen. I began to move over, amen. God let me, amen, get into the Holy Ghost dance and change my seat, amen. So I'm not sitting back over there. Mother's hands are a little freaky, amen. Hallelujah, anyhow. Save mother's hands, Lord. Save her hands. Amen. Everything come in the house of God. Hallelujah. It's like the everything bagel, everything coming up in there. You dip your net down in the water and you pick up all kind of stuff. Amen. But amen, there's an altar in there. God's saying, yes, come on. Amen. But you're not going to stay as you are. If I can help you, if you allow me to help you, you're not going to stay as you are.
Yes.
But you can be hard head, stiff neck, and stay as you are.
Yes,
but God didn't want it to be that way. There's an awesome reality that should be experienced as we are in the presence of the total provision of God, made possible by the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Amen. It should revolutionize our understanding of how good God is and how this goodness can be manifested in every area of our life. Amen. Won't you bless the Lord with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord Jesus expects his followers to experience on a daily basis celebration of victory as we testify of his redemption. He expects for us to be his workers for a brighter day. Those who humble themselves to be moved by his Spirit to testify of his redemption in gracious ways to others are to in turn become the salt and light of this earth, advancing the Lord's kingdom of righteousness. Amen. We ought to do that in this earth. The earth should be a better place. God should not destroy Sodom because there's at least 10 righteous folks honoring him correctly, worshiping with their lives correctly. Amen. Thank God the, amen, tri-state area didn't shake so much till the tri-state went on sliding into the Atlantic Ocean. Amen. It only trembled for a few seconds. Oh my God, this past week. But I thank God there's enough of us praying that it didn't shake the land loose into the water,
yes,
causing mudslides, etc., etc. There's enough people here to keep the ground still enough, but to have a little bit of something for us to see as a leftover that crack wasn't in the street before Friday. That crack wasn't in the street.
Mm-hmm.
My God. The things that shook on the wall, shook off the shelves and onto the floor. Mm-hmm. That happened for real.
Mm-hmm.
People were sitting down and the ground shook.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't business as usual then.
No.
God comes to shake sometimes, to wake us up. A shaking is a waking up.
Yes.
Thank God.
Thank God.
And we need to look up to heaven and say, God, forgive me for living an idolatrous life, forgetting from whence I came, forgetting of who I am and whose I am. Oh, we got to testify of his redemption in gracious ways like that to others. Amen. Hopefully, God will touch them in such a way and they're ready for the word that they too will become salt and light in this earth. And help us to advance the Lord's kingdom of righteousness. Thank God. So the integrity of God's message should never be compromised. Not in our so-called worship sessions. Not in our everyday Christian lives as we go to work, etc. Or in the marketplace, wherever we go. The old saint said, take the Lord Jesus with you wherever you go. Stay right under the blood. What? So the world will do you no harm. What they were saying is that the integrity of God's message should never be compromised. Amen. So a daily examination of ourselves is quite necessary to help us maintain dependence on the perfect provision of life that comes exclusively from Jesus as our what? Savior and what else?
Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
We like Savior. Amen. We sing about Savior all day long. But what about Lord? Come in every area of my life. Amen. We need that hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Without this process of lifelong cultivation, we will not enjoy true communion. And others around us will not readily taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes. Without true communion in our lives, we cannot expect to live fruitful, abundant lives and continue to grow in holy effectiveness as God intends for us to grow. Back to the basics of Christian living, people of God, the essence of true communion.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.